Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today, I'm talking to a man who's just started a church, which isn't that unusual. What is unusual is how fast it's growing, and we're going to find out what it is that's drawing people to the church at a time when many people are quitting going to church. So stay tuned after this word from our sponsor.
Dr. Bill Hammond, the founder of Christian International Ministries, is considered to be the pioneering voice of the modern-day prophetic movement. In his 61 years of ministry, he has trained and equipped hundreds of thousands of saints and has personally prophesied to leaders of nations. He spent his life training people to hear the voice of God, and because of this, their world has changed. You can also change your world through Christian International Ministry, their products and their events. You'll be equipped to hear God for yourself and others, your role on earth as a believer, your purpose and destiny. You'll receive a wealth of revelation and insight about hearing and receiving the voice of the Lord. For more information on Christian International Ministries, visit their website at christianinternational.com. Again, the website, christianinternational.com. And thank you, Dr. Bill Hammond, for sponsoring this podcast.
Well, welcome back and welcome to my guest, Josh Turner, who happens to be my son's pastor.
Yep.
So to me, you're a very important man. You have the spiritual responsibility for Cameron and all that he is doing. So you have started a church called Celebration Church in Orlando, Florida. Tell us about it. How long has it been going?
It's been going a year and a half.
And in that time, you've just exploded in growth. How many did you have, let's say, last Sunday or maybe Easter?
So Easter, we had over 2,000.
Wow.
On Easter.
In a year and a half.
Yes, sir.
There are churches that have been around 30 years and aren't that big. What is the difference with Celebration Church?
Man, I really wish, people ask us that a lot, and I really wish that I could give you a good answer. You know, one of the things that I heard Brian Houston say one time that I thought was so good, he said, church planting comes down to three things, right person, right place, and right time. And obviously, you know, God is always the underlying huge factor in all of it. So none of it's possible without God. None of it's possible without Jesus. And so for me, I think that we really got those three things correct. And I don't mean that to sound arrogant as like, oh, I was the right person, definitely. But God messed with me so much about downtown Orlando that I told my wife and my senior pastor, Stovall Weems, I said, if I don't go to Orlando to plant this church in downtown at the end of my life, I'm going to stand before Jesus and tell him that I stayed in Jacksonville, which is where I'm from, because I was comfortable here and not because God called me. And I said, man, I can't do that. And so Pastor Stovall lovingly sent us with resources and a staff, and we moved down here. And then I think, you know, for me, from day one, it was downtown. I wanted to be downtown. I wanted to be in an urban context. I wanted to reach people that did not go to church, that were maybe wounded by the church. And we were just trusting God with the timing. I submitted that all to my leadership. And so I think that a lot of these things came together because we continually like submitted them to God. And then also on top of it, God protected me from my own stupidity a little bit. And as a leader, I found that that's what I need more than anything else. And we looked at all these different venues and, you know, I'm super overzealous because I'm a super type A personality. And we're looking at these big performing arts centers and God would close this door and God would close this door and God would close another door. And the one thing I always said is, man, I'm never going to be a mobile church that sets up and breaks down every week. And I am a mobile church that sets up and breaks down every week. And God really led us to a place that I think he had for us specifically in the city.
Well, I've lived in Orlando a long time. In fact, as you were talking, it occurred to me that we moved Memorial Day weekend 43 years ago. So I have seen a lot of changes in Orlando. And you are in the heart of Orlando, right down by Lake Eola.
Yes, sir.
Where they have all the little festivals on the weekend. And it's such a good location. And Howard Middle School has a great performing arts center for school.
Yeah, very nice.
You know, you mentioned Stovall Weems. He's a real success story too, mm-hmm. because he started his church in Jacksonville since I've been in Orlando. I remember hearing about a church that was booming up there and eventually I got to know him and so forth. His church is also called Celebration Church. Yep. And so I assume then that they have started churches in other cities.
Yeah, so I'm still a part of Celebration. And so the way that it's kind of a new model that we're working on as a church, where there are different cities that would have different lead pastors. So I am considered the lead pastor of Orlando, but Stovall Weems is still the senior pastor over all of Celebration Church. And honestly, I like it because I like having authority. I don't know what I don't know. I'm 35 years old and he's been doing this a lot longer than me. And so I feel like I have a lot to learn from him. And so we're looking at Fort Lauderdale right now. We have three campuses in Jacksonville, and then we have a church in Zimbabwe and one in Northern Ireland as well.
So if someone were to visit your church, as I did recently, why don't you describe what they would see when they arrived?
Yeah, so I think for us, we really look at the hospitality side of things, and we want people, regardless of what you look like, regardless of what you're struggling with, regardless of your background, to feel like we're really happy you're here. So when you come in, when you drive in on the lot, there's a parking crew that's waving at you, that's helping you find a parking spot. When you walk in, there's going to be guest services people greeting you. Time as you cross over the street from the parking lot, there's going to be guest services people at the door. There's going to be, right when you walk in, there's going to be the children's area where you get to check in your kid. If you're first time, we have a little first time area to check in your kids. And then we have like a whole wing that has security where the kids go. And then, you know, down another hallway is the theater. And the theater is it's a very nice performing arts theater. It was built, however, in 1926. So the chairs are super hard and super wooden. And when people stand up from them, it sounds like a bunch of gunshots going off. And it's quite terrifying the first time when you're not prepared for it. And then, you know, we really try to make the services feel like something an unsaved person would understand. And so for me, I was not in church for a long time. And so what I know is that there are words, there are phrases that are very church culture that people who don't have a church background wouldn't understand. And so everything that we think through is, man, if someone were to walk off the street from a night out partying on a Saturday night, would they understand the gospel that we are presenting? And so we really try to focus on people understand concerts. And so we want our worship to have a little bit of that concert feel, because that's what unsaved people understand. That's what they get. And so then it's our job to teach them, this is why we lift our hands. This is why we sing out. This is why we want you to engage. And then the preaching, I try to tell people, we are, without watering down the gospel, we are a cookies on the bottom shelf. I want someone that walks in, regardless of your church background, to understand what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so that's really our whole take, is we want people, regardless of their church background, to understand what our Savior did for them.
The Sunday that I visited, you preached a very strong message about righteousness and holiness without sounding condemning to people.
Yeah. So I think that goes back to myself. Like I said, I was away from church for a long time. I went to college, lost my mind, got into a lot of trouble. And the gospel that was presented to me was very condemning at times. And it made me feel worse about myself. And what most people, I think, have to understand about people who are lost and broken and hurting is they're already hurting. They already feel a certain way about themselves. And so I think that there are ways that we can present the gospel to somebody. And like I said, not water it down at all. Like, because I know at the end of the day, for me, I'm going to stand before Jesus for everything I've ever preached. And that's way more terrifying than somebody not liking me. And so, but I think that there are ways that we can present Jesus, we can present the gospel in such a way that it doesn't have to beat people up, and we allow the Holy Spirit to convict people's hearts. Because at the end of the day, it's not my job to convict people. It's my job to present the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to convict those people and to convict them of what's going on. And that was me. I mean, what changed me wasn't a pastor railing on sin from the pulpit. It was the love of God in that moment. And it was almost like God looking at me and saying, son, I know where you've been. I still get choked up. I know what you've been doing, and I'm just glad you're home. And for me, that's the way I want everybody to feel. And so I'm not going to water anything down, but I think that I can present it, and we can present the gospel in a way that, regardless of what you're struggling with, you can find hope in Christ. And I always kind of go back to Jesus eating with the sinners and the tax collectors. People don't want to be around people who make them feel worse about themselves. So there was something about what Jesus did, and there was something about the character of Jesus that sinful people and people who are not doing godly things wanted to be around him. And so what was it about Jesus, and how did he present the truth, and how how did he talk about sin in a way that literally drew people to him? And that's what we try to do as best as we can.
Let's talk about your story. When you came back to the Lord, mm-hmm. what was it that drew you back? And was it a church service you went to, or did someone share with you personally?
Yeah, so just being completely transparent, my wife and I got pregnant when we weren't married. We both went to Florida State, and we just were crazy, and we partied. And I kind of had all these ideas that I was going to just make a ton of money. And then when I built my own house and I had nice cars and a family, that life would magically come together. And so I have an economics degree from Florida State with a minor in business. And so I got out, I went into business, and at a young age became pretty good at it and was kind of had reached all these goals that I thought I wanted in my life. We had built a house, had our son, and I had reached all the earthly goals I'd kind of set for myself, but was miserable and felt like that there was something continually missing in my life. And I tell people all the time, like, I can remember driving to work by myself in my suit, going to meet with clients and sobbing in my car, because I remember thinking, like, there's got to be more than this. There has to be more than this. And so I found myself in this place of, I know I'm not made for this. I don't know how to find out what I'm made for. And if I find out what I'm made for, I have no idea how to do it. And so I was talking to this guy I worked with named Clint Hendry. And Clint, man, I still get choked up talking about this. It's been a long time now. I was talking to Clint, and he said, man, you should come to church with me one Sunday. And so my wife and I, we started trying some other churches first. We went back to where I grew up. We tried some other different churches. And, you know, when you're young and you walk in with a two-year-old, people can look at you a little funny. And I think that's just the reality. And so we went to a couple of different places and just felt like people looked at us like we didn't belong there a little bit. And so my buddy, Clint, I went back to work and said, man, we've been trying places, can't really find a place. And he said, well, why don't you come to church with me? And so it was Celebration Church. And so we walk into Celebration Church, and, you know, it was the first time I'd ever been to a church where I call it Six Flags Over Jesus, where the rock band's going and the lights are going and the haze is going and everything. And so I walk in and I immediately first think to myself, these people are crazy. All of them. Like, what is this? What have we gotten into? And so we're sitting off to the left side of the stage and the worship team's going. And we brought our son in with us. And my son, when he was born, he had to have casts on both of his legs from the time he was a month old to the time he was a year old, because he was born with club feet really bad. And he had just gotten them off for the last time. And so we're standing in worship, and I'm looking at all of these people with their hands in the air. Some of them are crying. They're singing like crazy. And I'm just thinking to myself, these people are crazy. Like, I am done with this. Like, this is obviously not what I'm looking for. There's got to be something else out there. Church isn't it. And so as I'm thinking that, I turn to my left, which is where my son was. He had pushed himself up on the seats and was standing with both of his hands raised. I lost it. I mean, I am sobbing, because what it was for me, it was God saying, like I said, son, I know where you've been. I know what you've been up to, and I'm just glad you're home. So I am that person that really, that moment changed everything for me, everything. And so then it was a process of weaning things out of my life that didn't need to be there.
Well, that's a beautiful story. You know, everyone should have a moment like that in their life, a real change, a change of direction.
Yeah.
And I know that people are listening that will want to check out Celebration Church. Most of our listeners would not live in Central Florida, but it seems like everybody ends up here on vacation sooner or later.
Yeah.
So I guess what would they do? Look on the web for Celebration Church Orlando?
Yeah, they can go to celebrationorl.org, and that'll be our website, and they can find service times and all that right there.
And then they could just check it out, come enjoy your
hospitality. Come hang out, come enjoy the hospitality and have fun, and hopefully you feel welcomed and at home.
That's great. Well, congratulations
to you
on your success. You're meeting such a need. Orlando is not really the Bible Belt anymore.
No.
It's becoming more and more secularized and urbanized.
Yep.
Thank God that there's a strong Christian witness who's making a difference in people's lives.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Josh, for being with me today, and thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Bill Hammond, founder of Christian International Ministries. Thank you, Dr. Hammond, for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.